you so much for joining us this morning. Thank you for joining us. We've got some work that we need to get done, and I also want to let you know and thank Shelley for sending the doodle poll on a regular meeting schedule. For those of you that weren't here last month, we had a conversation about setting a set time of the month and a date, and just we can do that as a regularly scheduled meeting day so we can kind of just all count on that. And if you can't make it, you know, hopefully we'll have enough for a quorum. But I think it's really a struggle for us to try to do doodle polls for every single meeting. So the date that seemed to resonate with everybody predominantly was the first Tuesday of the month. And so, and the mornings worked out better for folks generally. So we're going to go for the 10 o'clock first Tuesday of the month. Our next meeting will then be December the 6th. I will be out of town, but you will be here, right? Okay, so Representative Edwards will be here, the chair. And then we'll jump into it every other month schedule, because we really are only required to meet 6 times a year, at least 6 times a year. But we can, we can meet more frequently, so we could call additional meetings if we need to get work done. But I'm really trying to get us into a pattern of meeting with some regularity and for people to work done. At 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. So 10 a.m. on December the 6th is when we'll meet next. And then so 2 months out from that, so it's in February, the first Tuesday, whatever that is, which allows us to comply with the requirement in our statute that says that we have to meet at least once during the legislative session. So then hopefully we will get into a pace and people can count on what we need. And then I think also then that will hopefully precipitate our committees meeting with regularity on those off months, which is what it's my intention to try to do with at least with the Public Policy Committee, and we'll be able to start to get into our rhythm. So just wanted to make sure that I got that December and the February dates on your calendar so you have those set. And then we'll just move forward with that. With that, we do have 2 sets of minutes that Shelley sent to us. I will take a motion to approve those minutes. Unless people want to take a second to review. We should have gotten those in mail. So, Commissioner Regan makes a motion to adopt the minutes. Any second?
Second.
All right, and second by Commissioner Robertson. All those in favor of adopting the minutes for Wednesday meet, which I go on for September. Oh, it is actually meeting in September that we needed to adopt. Yeah. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, those are adopted and approved. A couple of items that we have on our agenda is one seat that we need to fill for the commission of a company that has more than 500 employees. And Commissioner Freeman, if you don't mind, I'm going to have you talk about the 2 recommended individuals that you've brought forth for our consideration.
Sure. So they're both actually, one's, I believe, Salt Lake County-ish, and the other's Davis County-ish. There are 2 individuals, Karen Leonardi and Shelley Nedswein. And both are actually in the healthcare field. Shelley Nedswein is works at Davis Hospital. So a large employer there, and Karen Leonardi, I believe, works for IHC, and I don't have her resume in front of me, but again, a large company. So I thought from the healthcare field, that might be a very interesting skill set or subject matter expertise to bring up to the Women's Commission. And so those 2 individuals are people that I've served with for a number of years on various committees and have been highly involved in. For example, the Ogden Weaver Women Business and on the Davis Chambers, and so have served with them multiple times, and Shelley on the Davis Education Foundation. So I've worked with them for a long time, and they're very good committee team members and have really good perspective.
Great. What are your thoughts? Any thoughts on the recommendations that the commissioner has offered?
I think
there's some real expertise that could enhance our commission on both of those, bringing in healthcare, because we have so many potential topics of discussion that we're going to be looking at, both in terms of the labor force and how healthcare impacts women. So I think it would be helpful. I don't know if I know Shelley and what is the other?
Karen. So Shelley is the sort of the business community liaison at the Davis Hospital. And then Karen, actually, her background is really more healthcare, insurance and coverage. And so she has had even, she started her own small business for a while in terms of healthcare coverage. And so she's had her first, so Shelley is more sort of the healthcare side from a hospital perspective. And then Karen is more from a healthcare coverage.
And administrative piece.
So, I mean, definitely healthcare, but two different diverging paths in that regard.
And have you spoken with either of them?
Yeah, I've spoken to both and asked if I could not be, forward their nomination. And so they're very, very interested in serving and thought that the group would be a very interesting group to serve on.
I think I would be inclined in reviewing. I did take a look at that first blush type of review, and I think that Karen, given the size of Select Health and just the fact that it reaches throughout the entire state, that you know that it's networked beyond just Salt Lake County and Wasatch Front, that would I would be inclined to move her name forward, and or we can take. I know we've talked about having a conversation with the Adobe folks at one point. But just haven't, I've not been able to follow up with that. So I don't know if you want to put additional thoughts into recommendation, but we've got a comment from Kathy.
Thank you. I love the idea of having a poll on the healthcare side. Because, you know, we've been doing some data research on the growing industries and where industry demand is and what jobs are higher paying for entry-level positions, you know, with a certain amount of education, let's say a career technical education certificate. And the healthcare industry is just, there's a lot of opportunity there to take those entry-level jobs with minimal education, and it's going to provide a good, decent pay so someone can be self-sustaining financially. So I love that we can have that insight, especially with women, and how we can influence them to find those higher-paying jobs. I love that. And then as far as the governor appointing the new chair, he's going to rely really heavily on what you all think is the right person. So I'd like to hear that through and just let me know what you think.
Thank you. Any good thoughts? I'm kind of inclined to go ahead and move forward with her, primarily because this group has been vacant for more than a year, and as much as I'd like to explore and try to find other recommendations, I know I haven't had the time to effectively do that. So I think that we have seems to be a promising candidate, and the individual still does need to be vetted to the governor's office, and they will take a good look at her experience and her expertise, of course, with the recommendation of the commission that this is the person we would like to be considered. I'm going to go ahead and make that motion, and then if you want to go ahead and second that, and then Kathy, if you'll just go ahead and send that forward to the governor's office on appointments, and we'll get that process going too. And I think that you send it to all of us. I'm trying to remember if you just sent it to me, so I put it to the team. Would you be so kind as to send that to Commissioner Bonus, and then we can go ahead and move that forward.
Can I connect Karen directly with you?
Okay, that sounds good. So we'll just go ahead and take an official motion. All of those in favor of moving forward, Karen, as a recommended appointee to the Women on the Army Commission. Say aye.
Aye.
Super. Any opposed? Super. Thank you so much. And thank you again, Commissioner. I really appreciate you taking the lead and sending some candidates our way. Another thing that we've got here is that you shared some really interesting Department of Labor information, and I was wondering if you could just take a minute to kind of share why that caught your interest and why you sent it for our consideration.
Yeah, so I actually have been, not monitoring deeply, but have been sort of watching, in general, some funding sources and resources, and so the DOL Women's Center, or I can't remember the exact name of it, but the group that set that out is very specific to looking at women's interests, and based on the last meeting and some of the presentations that we had, I thought that the medical leave pay would not sort of take any, there's obviously lots of nuances, so that one wasn't very specific to that, but after looking at the past couple of years and the conversations on the commission in terms of what some of the focus has been and the conversations have been, as well as maybe some of the funding opportunities from the group, I mean, if we are going to be active, again, I'm kind of a new, but, you know, have been listening and thinking if we're going to be active, then instead of always asking the question and then maybe on the back end trying to find funding sources to do research or those sorts of things, I thought maybe to be a bit more proactive and look for opportunities that have grant funding assigned to them that may align with some of the things that the commission is looking for. So I've been doing my own research on those types of opportunities, whether it's through the Wisdom Center, through DOL or DOL in general, or through some of the health and human services and those sorts of sort of larger scale entities. So I don't have anything in particular. I'm just sort of sending out with the order in case it sparks somebody else's interest or thought processes that I know a lot more about the commission than I do. So
thank you so much. I appreciate that, Commissioner Anderson, or Senator Anderson. Did you have a comment? Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were.
I can tailor those searches too. I mean, I'm sort of just casting a wide net, and if there's something that I think is somewhat interesting, I'll send it to the group. But if there's a very specific interest in policy or some sort of focus, I could certainly
deep dive
that too.
That'd be great. I think looking at some of the things that we've been reviewing, the wage gap issue that Senator Escamilla is starting to dig into, and there she is, the food gap issue at an executive level may be something that you want to keep an eye on. And some of the other areas of focus that we've been looking on, i.e. professions and or areas of certification and licensure that are predominated by women, if there's any research related to any inequities or discrepancies in that type of research or information, I think that that would be helpful. And then the other things that we were starting to look at were women in health. And just kind of not so much the workforce stuff, but what policies, what environment needs to be there in terms of being able to ensure that women feel that when they are in the workforce, that their families are well taken care of and they have the support that they need. So any other thoughts or areas that anybody can think of? But I know that those are some of the things. If you look at the minutes from last time, I think we talked a bit about that. Some of those areas, and the Public Policy Committee, hopefully we'll get another committee meeting in before the December meeting, and we can talk about some of the other issues. But I know those are a couple of things that we're looking at.
Is there any interest in generational? For, you know, and we have a lot of millennials, which will have a completely different experience than other generations, especially for females very specifically. Is there any interest in that direction at all?
Open, and I think another thing that might be the direction that we go is what we're hearing from the focus groups and the research that Commissioner Robertson and the Research Subcommittee is doing. So, what I would encourage the commissioners to do is if something bubbles up in your head, send that to Commissioner Brigette, and she can go ahead and keep an eye on that, since she's keeping tabs on the Department of Labor opportunity list. And then Commissioner, Senator Escamilla has a comment.
Well, I was going to say that one of the issues that have been brought by some constituents to my attention, and I'm interested in maybe pursuing some hopefully, even if needed through appropriations, more data collection on infertility in women in Utah. Somehow we are getting, because there's not that much research out there, really high numbers of infertility, and that is in the broader definition as per policy definition, where it's also women that kind of carry a full pregnancy. And in Utah, it seems that those numbers are high, and I was at a conference on Saturday about infertility, and just the fact that they can get real numbers and data that really makes sense. It's hard to make policy decisions or requests more help from the insurance companies, and Massachusetts has been very successful in having really good data. So I was hoping to get some, hopefully this next session, even if we partner with a university to have some appropriation to help get the data. There's a lot of families being impacted and women on health, that are healthcare related, obviously. And it's physically impacting those families where one IV, you know, and you process is about $15,000 and nothing in retail coverage that. So it's, you know, you're talking about a huge investment from families, and those are, you know, just families that are trying to be families and strengthen their families. And that it was discussion to be at that conference in here in a row, is how many they're not having enough numbers. There was data available for them, so it was, maybe we could talk about how the commission can probably, you know, partner on that if possible, and we'll see how it goes in the session. But yeah, there's a lot of things happening in that area, so thank you.
Okay, thank you. A follow-up on that, Senator Escamilla, is that I've read a lot of reports from the health department in Utah making a connection between our air quality and some of the air fragility issues, as well as other health-related issues that are cancer and some other things in Davis County specifically. And I can't remember if this came from Davis County or if it's statewide, but it was making that connection, and it was really kind of
a lot of things. In this parish, there's a lot of information in our specific zip code. Original radius related to miscarriages. Yeah, so I saw that report as well. So we're trying to get maybe a bigger, you know, to be more comprehensive as we're trying to, you know, make policy changes and decisions. Maybe our colleagues will be feel more compelled to help if they have that.
Which one do you want to do, too, Senator? I believe Physicians for a Healthy Environment, Dr. Kirtley Parker Jones, is very, very rigorous. A research project in Uinta Basin because they were seeing an uptick in silver, and again, you know, non-completed pregnancies, really high numbers in, again, kind of a very isolated area in the basin, and they are tying it to the ozone levels and the challenges that they're having with winter air quality, and they can tie it just in terms of like when women are pregnant and kind of how that's affecting them. With their quality, so check into that. And I think Physicians for a Healthy Environment has a data on it, but it's Dr. Kirby Parker Jones is the one that's been a researcher in that.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I think either Rolling Stone or some national magazine did. I'll see if I can find that article for you. Actually, I published an article on the findings, how shocking they were in terms of the number of terminated pregnancies in that manner. All right, thank you. Thank you again. Appreciate that. So I'm going to turn the mic over to Commissioner Robinson, if I could, to talk. I'm going to jump ahead to both do a subcommittee report on research, and then I think that will feed into the motion that we want to make to engage with UVU and get the commission's approval to move forward with contracting with that researcher so we can get that project up and rolling. So, Commissioner Robinson.
Thank you. I think there's three things to update the commission on. The first is the focus group research. And that's underway. We are actually conducting 14 focus groups. They started last month and then continue this month across the state of Utah. We're recruiting women who are both employed and not employed to participate in focus groups, and they're talking about all sorts of issues around education, employment, the balance between your work and your family life, those kinds of things. The goal of that is to create a survey questionnaire, and we can survey statewide about 500 women on a variety of issues and just gather more information from the ground up about women's experiences living in Utah. We applied for a grant from Walmart to conduct the statewide survey, and we were denied that grant yesterday. So we need to search for some additional funds.
Got lucky the first time.
Yeah, I think that's right. So At some point, maybe we can gather with the policy committee and talk about some other funding options that we discussed earlier in the summer and see what that can lead towards. The goal is to try and get that survey launched, maybe February or March, after the holidays, definitely. And then the third project that the group is working on is gathering more data around women in education, the demographic data. So that leads to the other issues that are on the agenda today, and that is identifying somebody, probably somebody from higher ed and likely UDU, that could hire a researcher, demographer, that can do additional work, the deep dive work, into women in higher education. So I think that leads to a discussion about how we can go about that. And Commissioner Lawrence was very, very helpful in identifying the way that our commission funds can be transferred. They can be transferred to another state entity or to an institution of higher education, so UDU qualifies. And I think that's just opening up the group for discussion.
Can you talk to us a little bit about how you envision, I know you've been in conversation with Dr. Madsen, about what that process would look like and kind of what our timeline would look like. I just want to get a feel of if once we make the motion and we authorize that funding to go to UDU to work with on this project, that what the next steps would look like.
Sure. So there are a couple things that need to happen. One, the transfer of funds from the commission's account over to UDU. And Dr. Madsen has a research center, and so the funds can be transferred directly to her. And then she would have oversight of those funds. She would need to do a hire, and she'd identified a demographer who could do this kind of work. The demographer's actually worked on contract for the Gardner Policy Institute, and she was really, really skilled. Her specialty really is women in Utah. And then there has been a scope of work that's been drafted that has input from our research commission, Pam Kurlick, and Dr. Madsen on the project goals, what needs to be accomplished, and what the outcome would be. So it needs to be a report to the commission. And then the commission really needs to own that report. It, even though it's authored by UDU, it becomes property of the commission because the commission may pay for it. So I think that's a key component as well. And then there's not a timeline on this of when the project needs to be done. I think we're looking at about a 6-month to 12-month project. It really is an intense amount of work. She would work half-time for $20 a week, and Susan would have oversight, but then Susan would report to the research subcommittee, and then we could report to the project commission.
So I think some of the things that we were talking about earlier that we had some concerns about, that the data and information would be ours, very clearly can be set forth in terms of the fact that the funding is provided by from Women in the Economy Commission funds that were appropriated by the legislature for research purposes, and that report would come out to us and the information would be ours. But that, it could be seamless because it is a Utah Institution of Higher Education, and so that should be, even though the study would take some time, my concern is getting that appropriation over there and extending the money from our coffers so that we can show our colleagues in the legislature that we're moving forward with continuing research work and have used the money that they allocated to us appropriately. So.
Yeah.
Thank you. So do we need to go through a bidding process or anything for this? Since it's our own institution of higher learning, we don't need to jump through any of those groups.
That's right.
Just double checking that. Okay, thank you.
That's been part of our process of delay in terms of figuring out how exactly we could do this so that we could utilize Mr. Demographer that has this expertise, that yes, they'll be following, the procurement process appropriately, and then we've been talking, I've been working with Commissioner Bowness to making sure that we could do this way, so we're good.
Great.
Thank you for asking. And Commissioner Breeding.
Yeah, I just had a couple questions. I know I'm the newbie, so I don't have a lot of the history of sort of where all of this is, the genesis of it. So could you just help me understand sort of what are the thought processes behind the outputs or the outcomes, and is it just for women in higher education specifically, and then how is that sort of good to the order maybe for, if the commission is responsible for sort of all women entry level versus all the way up what's maybe the history of
thought process. I think it would be good. Yeah. So we talked a little bit about it. I think it was the very beginning of the year. Commissioner Robinson and her research committee were finding gaps in data. And I'll let her explain that, but that's kind of where we saw this big gap that we needed to deal with and thought it was a good opportunity to align it with us.
Very specific to doctors and women in higher ed at any PhD level or higher or a four-year.
I'll let Commissioner Robinson talk about the background on it.
I think it's a great question. About 2 years ago when we did our larger commission study, we had some basic data with census data, and it compared men and women in the state of Utah and men and women nationally. And there seems to be confusion, and it's not a lot of depth in our understanding of women in higher education. There are some statements out there that women are underachieving in terms of degree attainment in Utah. It's not quite the case when you separate things out. Women actually have a higher level of degree attainment when you're looking at bachelor's degrees than men in the state of Utah. But it's when you get to those higher levels, a master's degree, professional degree, PhD, that men are overachieving in terms of women. So there's just been a lot of confusion around that. And Dr. Matthew and Pam Krawick think that we can do a better job in identifying women that are going into higher education, what degrees they're getting, and their training. And it was just a core value of ours to get a better understanding of women in higher education from a couple of years ago. So that's what they're trying to get at, is some more depth, and maybe they can even get down to things like race and ethnicity, and that the role that might play, that factors in to women getting degrees, those kind of things.
Could there possibly be sort of a look at anything post-secondary so that we could sort of not just do the four-year, but even some of the ATC level?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that makes sense. A two-year degree at ATC, four-year degrees in the home. Yep,
cool.
Definitely.
Cool.
Is that
helpful? Yes.
Super. Any other questions for Commissioner Robinson? Being then, what I'd like to do again is to go ahead and make a motion to move forward with being that the commission recommends that our research funding that was appropriated for research from the legislature this past general session, authorizing that to be transferred from our account with UWS to Utah Valley University for the purposes of beginning and this research project, or engaging in this research project, and supervised by Dr. Batson, under the auspices of the Subcommittee for Women in the Commission on the Economy, again noting that the data and information and the project is authorized by the Commission, and that data will be transferred and the report will belong to the Commission.
Second.
Any other questions or comments before we move to a vote? Those in favor? Oh, yes. Commissioner Mayor.
Okay, quick question about the amount of funding. Do you think they're going to use the whole 25?
Yeah, okay. So I think the way we would do it if we're going to, right, is they know the amount, so they're going to want to touch the amount. The way that, I mean, we'll have to have a contract with them, right? Because our social services appropriation committee is very good about following where our money goes and the requirements to report on performance measures. And we've already given them a heads up that one of the things we're going to perform with this money is hiring a research assistant, and then we'll have to follow up with that. So we'll set up an MOU, or an MOA, I guess you call it, with you on that. And then I think the way the mechanism would work is we would reimburse. So they would bill us based on time, and we would. So we wouldn't just funnel all the money right away, right? We would do it in chunks based on the work that she's performing after she's performed it in certain segments.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would do it as a cost-reimbursable contract rather than a fixed price. And I think we need to ensure that there's language in the contract about the ownership of the document, the copyright of the document.
Thank you. Thank you for clarifying that, because I do want to make sure we have an MOU with the institution and clarifying that here. But again, clarifying that in the MOU, and I think if the two of you work on that, I know, Commissioner, that you're very focused on making sure that that's ours. Senator Henderson.
Thank you. I thought I'd want to clarify this motion. Are we giving
Jennifer and her subcommittee the authority to go ahead and do this, or do we need to come back and see the contract before it's actually given? What's this? I mean, I understand that there's a time frame, but I think that needs to be included in the motion.
Okay. We're going to be discussing our next item on the agenda is how to utilize an electronic function for maybe some of these decisions, like you're saying. I mean, this is a perfect example of what our next agenda item is going to be addressing is maybe we do want to come back and look at this contract and the MOU before it gets sent out just to have everybody's eyes on it. But time is of the essence a little bit, and we don't want to have to bring together a physical meeting, but we don't have a mechanism to do anything besides that, to check and to approve. And so that's our next agenda item. So maybe we could actually have a substitute motion I want to pause this motion.
The next item on the agenda is just coming early.
What's that called?
It's just a substitute motion.
Why we need to have a mechanism for making some decisions, getting information out, having, taking votes on things or achieving consensus on issues that are time sensitive without coming physically in if those things happen between our meetings. We do, right now our next meeting is in December, but if something happens between December and February and it's time sensitive, many committees and different commissions, task forces have the ability to have feedback and input electronically, and we don't have that as part of our decision making at this point. And so let's have a discussion. I think that's something that would be helpful for us and that we need to pursue. Thoughts on that from anyone? Commissioner Henderson.
Thank you. So how does that work? And when we're talking, we want to be open and transparent, have public meetings, explain to me how making a decision electronically fits in with transparency.
So I have a couple of thoughts on that. Again, I'm open to see how maybe some other commissions, Commissioner Bowles, if you have experience with any other authority-making bodies that guide the work of the department deeply in. But what I was thinking, and I would consider this a very good example, we had a public discussion about the motion that we're trying to move forward. So this idea of engaging with UDU to do the contract work in a publicly noticed meeting. So we're doing that today. I guess what I would do is if we were to allow for any action to be taken by the commission, that it had to have been discussed in a publicly noticed meeting previously. So maybe we could do that in an effort to assure that at least there's been an opportunity for the public to weigh in if they have concerns or want to add into that, and then it would just be final approval of contract based on the conversation that we had in the public notice meeting.
I see some problems with this just from a legal standpoint. If we're getting together as a commission electronically to make a decision, I think maybe the safer route to go is for us as a committee, if we want to grant you, the chair, the authority to approve or reject the contract based on what we talked about here today. Maybe for this particular issue, that might be better. I'm just a little bit uncomfortable with making group decisions, commission decisions, electronically that aren't properly, that some, someone could come back and say, especially something like this that appropriates money, essentially. So I don't know. I think it might be cleaner to have us grant authority to you to have final approval of, as chair, to have final approval of that contract, just so that we know that there is someone
looking at it and just double checking, making sure that, that you have final approval. I guess you could have other people look at it as well, but if you want, but you have that final approval if we give it to you. And maybe this electronic, I guess I'm kind of familiar with this, and it just makes me a little bit uneasy. Not fully, maybe I just don't fully, clearly I don't fully understand the process there, but
I have not ever participated in any committees that have utilized this, so I'm, as you're talking, I'm sort of thinking this through as well, and in this is the first situation, I think, since we have been organized that has come forward where this has become an issue, and I don't anticipate that this is something that we would do all the time, but I'm wondering, in this particular case, if we get the language on the contract and we had a mechanism to put that on our website or I don't know, put it out there for the public if they were interested in reading that, and then we, I mean,
do you want me to type
it? Oh, please do. I think we have to change our legal counsel on that.
So the law would require us to still give public notice on our website in the same way that we did notice at this meeting. We would also be required to hold an anchor location spot for the meeting, and it's usually held in the same place you normally hold your meeting. So if we did want to do a vote electronically, Shelley and I would still be able to come here and hold the room open for a certain amount of time. We give notice at that time. So the public could still come and give input as we're watching the electronic communication going on. So that way we're still allowing it to be open to the public and allow them the opportunity to give input before anything is finalized. So that's kind of how we would handle the legalities of it, if that makes sense.
I'm sorry, I keep forgetting to turn people off so that they can turn themselves back on again.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, from a practical application standpoint, I think from a public notice, I mean, we clearly, I think it may, if we can use something electronic, might actually help us get more public input and feedback if we do use a website. Not that I'm saying that's a rationale for actually doing an electronic vote, but I think if we can really look at the website piece of it and actually putting the information out to the public, because we don't have a lot of attendees that I've seen come. So it would be great to actually kind of solicit even more public comments and feedback in that type of mechanism. So it's not an argument for the signing of the minutes or whatever, or approving it. But
yeah, so we do post everything online already. We give, you know, public numbers there, and we put the agenda up, and then we post the minutes on the DWS website. We have a WIC commission page. I think that we're going to start linking it to our own website eventually.
That's what I was referring to. Yeah.
But in terms of following what's required by open meetings and public awareness and transparency issues, like where are you doing that to that extent?
Correct.
So, Senator Henderson.
Okay, so just for that inquiry. So it really would be another meeting, publicly noticed, except we wouldn't have to actually come here. So, and what about the cost involved? I mean, some of you are public employees, so there's no necessarily cost there, but the others of us, there's a cost associated with it. Would there not be a cost associated with it then if we did? I'm just trying to avoid extra costs, too.
Sure.
So how does that work?
Well, I think it would, I guess I don't understand why that would, I would see that as increasing costs, right? Travel time, people coming and attending. And I guess what we could do if we could send out the contract by email to all of you and then hold a, is it locked?
That's how open we are to the
air. We live in
October. What we could do is set up a phone call time and then have everyone attend over the phone and vote over the phone, and we could have that being transmitted here if any public could attend. We could do those kind of options for things as well, so more comfortable that the public has been involved. But I do see it as a decreasing cost if everyone doesn't have
especially if there's just a simple vote on a matter we've already discussed publicly, and we are vetted through, we just need to work out the final voting details.
Well, that makes me personally feel better about the whole thing. I mean, if we're dotting all the I's and crossing the T's and making sure, and that's the way the commission wants to go with this, instead of granting authority to the chairs, and I'm fine with that.
Thank you. Thanks for bringing that up, Senator. I think we want to make sure, and that's why we wanted to have it as a discussion. We're just trying to find ways to expedite approval of items that we may have already discussed, not to preclude or have it circumvent our regularly scheduled meetings, which we definitely will continue to do. Commissioner Robinson.
I just wanted to ask, so would we be on phone or Skyping off of our computers?
I hate Skyping personally.
No, I mean, whatever you guys were comfortable with. Okay. I think it's got it all power. However the commission wants to do it. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's the next step I want to talk about, is in order for us to do this, the law requires us to adopt a resolution, a formal resolution, which I'm happy to draft up for all of you. I would just need guidance on what situations you want in there, how you want this to go. So when we do hold an electronic meeting, do you want it to be over the phone? Do you want it to be Skype? And I'll be put in there, we're going to get a public notice 24 hours in advance, and we'll hold an anchor location here in this room, in this building. You know, I'll put all of those details in there, and then it'll be public. Publicly broadcasted. I would need the chairs to sign the resolution that this is what the body wants to do, and we need to vote on it, that that's what we're going to do. So those are the details I need of how you want to do it. Do you want to Skype? Do you want to call? And just set the parameters of when we do have an electronic meeting, this is exactly how it's going to go.
Could we somehow write the resolution that we would put it in the motion, how, like, have some options that work best for each mitigating circumstance? So that it's in the motion, that's publicly put out there, but then it gives us enough flexibility to navigate it.
I actually recommend that we don't do that, because I think it'll get confused. I think I'd rather just have a standard operating practice on how we do electronic meetings, and we'll just fly with that and see the best. I'm hoping that we'll use this maybe once a year, if that, like we're in a circumstance like we're dealing with right now. So that it'll be rare enough that we ever have to use it. And in fact, what I'm going to recommend is that perhaps, since we are going to meet in December on the 5th, that we move forward with drafting the MOU, drafting this resolution, and then in the December meeting approving both, because then we can still move forward with, you know, we can let Susan know this is happening, because if it's going to be reimbursable anyways, we can start whatever processes we need to do to engage the researcher and get them, her signed up. But knowing that it's been our intention in December to take a final vote, we're just drafting the MOU, we're drafting our resolution related to electronic action, and then we'll come back in December, vote on both of those, and move forward with those. How does that sound for folks? All right, so I'm going to back up and just restate my original motion, where we are going to ask Commissioner Bonas as our legal counsel for the commission to work with Commissioner Robinson to draft in a memorandum of agreement for this research project to extend our appropriations and bring that back for approval to the December meeting. And then also have Commissioner Bonas bring forward a resolution for conducting an electronic meeting and or taking action using electronic means by the commission. And I think what I would recommend, Commissioner, is that you just kind of throw everything in there, and then I'd rather have everything in there and then we edit out versus not knowing what we don't know what we don't know. And I think that your experience with other entities and knowing what needs to be in there, I'd rather have you just throw it all in there, and then we'll take a look at it, and if we feel like we want to keep something, we'll do that, versus thinking afterwards, oh, we should have added that. So, how does that sound?
Great.
I don't know whether it needs to be an official motion or not. So, okay, that sounds good. Yeah, everybody's cool with that.
That's an official motion.
Yeah. Well, I can take it as a decent motion. Yeah. I so moved that that's the direction that we go. All those in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. I'm sorry, it's too collaborative. I do appreciate that. for helping us keep on track. But that is where we need to be in as an appropriate. Thank you. No, we do not want to be in the administration. Unless it's good. So good.
Yes, of course.
which actually brings me up to another thing that I think I'd like to ask is how many more focus groups do we have, Jenny?
I think we're about
halfway done. Would you do me a favor and contact Commissioner Wallace? I think that, do you think it would be appropriate to get press coverage on any of these, or can you do that with a focus group?
I think we could get some press coverage, and I wouldn't get some results.
Okay. And the main thing, the reason is I think we need to document this and do some press around it. Again, it helps us moving forward. Number one, it's seeking funding for the second piece for this survey. And then it helps us as we're having conversations with our colleagues to let them know what we're doing and the results. Because we talked about the research last year when we did our presentation in front of executive appropriations as well as economic development and workforce services interim. And although we've already submitted our annual report in concert with DWS's annual report, I do want to make sure that we're doing wherever we can. We can promote and talk about the work that we've done so far. So please connect with her as you finalize that and let her know that I'm interested in having the communications committee put it on our website, but also if you see if we can get the media around it, it will be very helpful for us. All righty. Oh, we're done. Okay. I don't think so. Anything else that would align with the research committee?
No, that's it.
Thank you. Sounds good. All righty. And Commissioner Wallace is not here to talk about the communications committee. I don't remember really seeing anything in terms of updates, so Representative Edwards and I will follow up with her and kind of see how things are going with the website and seeing if that's going to be launching soon. And see if there's anything else that the communications committee has that needs to be reported to the commission. Regarding the public policy committee, we have not had a committee meeting since prior to our last commission meeting. It's going to be my goal to try to do that definitely before our December meeting so that we can do an update. In the meantime, what I will do is the lead of that commission, of that CUP subcommittee, is send out an email to all of our legislative colleagues telling them that, inviting them if they have legislation that they would like to present for our consideration or feedback, that the December meeting would be an opportunity to do that, and if they don't, that the students that would be able to review their legislation would be in February. So just kind of giving them a heads up. So that would be part of the agenda in December, is any presentations that we have from any of our colleagues on legislation that they have ready to present. The other thing that I wanted to recommend to the Public Policy Committee, but I'll put out here to see if anybody has any concerns or questions, the Utah Women's Coalition is working on legislative initiatives and items with a variety of legislators and on their own accord kind of identifying policy issues. And I thought it would be good to invite, Erin, you sit on that. You are depending with regularity. But I'd also like to see if maybe their chair, Stephanie Fisher, or somebody that's associated with the lead of the coalition, be asked to join our public policy committee, subcommittee, so that we can kind of all be on the same page, because I feel like they're kind of going in one direction and we're not maybe up to speed on all of the issues that they want to focus on. So I'm going to invite them to our next public policy subcommittee just to kind of weigh in on some of the issues that they're looking at so that we're at least aware of the direction that they'd like to go with some of their policies. And also to see fair assistance in helping us with public policy priorities that we may have as a commission. It is a tad bit of my concern that we've got all of these different women's groups that are kind of working on issues, and why that's helpful at some level, because there's so much to work on, I don't want to be at odds with each other in terms of priorities that some of us may have, especially those of us that are elected that may be working on issues that we've brought to this commission for consideration. it's an issue of energy and bandwidth is my concern, and also maybe confusion on the part of our legislative colleagues that, oh, well, what's this issue? Aren't you guys working on this issue? Or what are they doing? What are you doing? So trying to align ourselves a little bit on that. So, Commissioner Freehan.
Yeah, if you're not on that committee, can we still get the announcement so we can attend
your... I will make a point of doing that. Thank you. What we talked about, Senator, is we were trying to get on the practice of doing the same day every month. And that's just the way it fell this month. But what we'll do is, so we could just send a notice to all the commissioners and say, you know, the next meeting we've established is December the 6th. Let's see where we're at on numbers. Because there are others besides possibly the three of us. You'll still have quorum if you have Anne and Judy and Anne Marie here, so it'll be fine. In terms of the quorum, if everybody else is here, except for the three of us. But I want to make sure that that's not going to be, that we're not going to have everybody missing on December the 6th. So Shelley, if you will just go ahead and let everybody know, we get back to you as to whether or not there was a challenge with that December 6th meeting on the 10 a.m.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for bringing it. I brought it up for me, but I forgot that you were likely going to be joining me on that. It's at a Senate Legislators Conference. It's in Hawaii.
Oh,
good. We are commemorating Pearl Harbor 75th anniversary. There's a Latino senator that wanted to bring us all in for the 75th commemoration of Pearl Harbor, and so we will be there on Is there any other business to come before the commissioner? This will also be if there are policy issues that I didn't bring up to the end. I had a policy committee. Anybody? Yes. Okay. I'm going to let Representative Edwards.
If we could find out from Commissioner Wallace where the website stands, what the status of this is, it would be really helpful to have that up and going in a robust manner before the session begins. And if there are holdups that we can, like if she's waiting for information from us, then that would be helpful for us, you know, so we could help support her in that effort. I think that has been the case in the past. She's waited on us for information, and I don't know if we're in that waiting period right now also, or anyway. So,
I am in full agreement. I think we can't let perfect become the enemy of good on this one.
Okay, that sounds good. All right, thank you. Senator Escamilla.
Thank you. I also just want to maybe put some thoughts for our policy committee to maybe bring some information related to some of the operations that have been taking place addressing the homeless crisis. There's a lot of women that are being impacted by homelessness and substance abuse and mental health that comes as a correlation to that. So it will be nice. And I know Representative Chavez has been in part of that conversation within our county and in the district of the representative. But it's important that we bring that information forward so that we deal with this potential approach of women and how to help them. This is. It is a real crisis in our state. I think it's a statewide crisis, not only for the county, Salt Lake County, Salt Lake City, but when you see where all those individuals are coming from all over the state, and those are someone's daughter or wife or a mother, you know, mother. And we had a chance to do a visit last Friday night, and it was just eye-opening to see. I mean, I drive through that place, which is so close to my home as well, all the time, but I just being able to stop and see and realize how many individuals are being impacted, I think this commission could also be part of the conversation of the trying to find solutions. So it would be nice to get maybe a report from the group for the next meeting for our policy committee.
Okay, that's more good. We can look at it within the policy committee. I know that representative Emily is looking at the housing piece of that and providing supportive housing for many of those individuals. I also know that the Coalition of Religious Communities has identified services for homeless children. That's kind of one of the issues they really want to do on and everything that wraps around that. So maybe we can look into that. Let's see if we get any interest on the part of our colleagues in terms of presenting, and if we don't, maybe we can do a deep dive at our next commission meeting on this as well as some of the action items we have to undertake. Any other business issues any other commissioners want to bring up for the commission's consideration?
I have a question on the homeless piece. When you talk about a group coming in presenting on that, are you talking about the homeless steering committee that the county has created, or are you talking about the housing community development division that's within TWS is involved in the efforts, or who are you wanting to be thinking of?
No, I think the policy committee can make it for their own issue.
Oh, okay.
Just you're right, there's so many players here. So one is me, for example, the federal health. That has nothing to do with, you know, like DWS may have a housing component.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say more that maybe that policy committee can take per month a different issue being reported, because there's so many, that's a great question. It's so multidisciplinary that I'm not sure that one group can present on everything.
Right.
And it will be nice to hear, you know, as we even get closer to the session, that the commission is out there talking about this issue as well. As they're trying to, whether it's getting more funding for behavioral health or housing. I mean, I think we need to be in the forefront as well if this is impacting so many women in our community.
So you're right. Kind of exploring the intersectionality between women and their success and how this may impede them so that it really aligns with our mission.
Oh, sure. That's right.
So you're right. Yes, Commissioner Friedman.
Would it make sense to also, if there are sort of needs or events going on that aren't specifically anybody who's on the commission, their working world, so to speak, maybe to have a commissioner who is available and attend and sort of bring that commission back instead of only relying on presentations here. I mean, maybe it's a way to even get our work, you know, on a visibility type of a thing to have a representative maybe attend some very key, not everything, obviously there's so much going on, but maybe, you know, something in the order of there's an email sent out, there's this event, and we're going to have sort of
question. Yeah, I'll say that in terms of the housing piece, I know that Representative Edwards has really been key in terms of participating with that piece, and I've really been trying to keep my hand on the pulse with the site relocation committee within Salt Lake City, as well as the coordinating council in the county. They're going to be working on services, whereas the city will focus on site locations, specifically with the efforts related to site locations of emergency shelter, but we're also, the county is looking at what is the next level of support that is provided to individuals once we get them past that crisis shelter piece, and that speaks to, you know, the behavioral health and all of the other supportive transitional services that need to be there. So for all intents and purposes, I've been kind of keeping an eye on it as best I can, just because it so adversely affects my district at present related to the emergency shelters. So.
I was thinking also just in terms of non-housing issues, right? So if there's a refugee, and obviously that's Kathy's world, but there's women refugees and there's women homeless and there's women, I mean, there's 50-something% of the population. So as a commission, there's a lot of things that we're sort of looking at, and so it might be nice in general if there are things that make steps for the commission to sort of go out and just take a peek at whoever can make it, or who's going anyway.
And actually, maybe that's actually a really excellent idea. I think what was, it was really helpful, maybe we could do this in be, again, within those in-between months, if we just do commission meetings once every other month. When Judy, Commissioner Barnett arranged for a Women in the Trades field trip that we did out to the various apprenticeship programs, it was very eye-opening to me, and so maybe what we can also going into this next year is find opportunities for field trips, and I'm thinking the Refugee Center, I think would be a really great place for us to all go visit, and maybe there are some other things that any one of the committees might know, or any of you think about those, that intersectionality that exists, and what might enlighten our perspective, as we also consider our research and the other things that we're doing. Please send those recommendations to Representative Edwards and I, and we'll move forward on that. I think another one of those groups that does have intersectionality is Representative Chavez said is the intergenerational poverty. I'm not sure that we've heard reports from, we haven't heard a presentation on their most recent report. And that would be, I mean, we have Kathy here, and so much of our umbrella, if Kathy is our go-to person on that, and so we could depend on Kathy, or you could bring someone in from IGP and kind of cater the report specific to the women piece, both in families and with the education. And I just think there's a lot of work to be done in that arena as well. So, just to remind, we did have Casey here last month. But you would see more of a focus on women.
On women.
And I don't think her report.
Hers was just very general.
Yeah, it
was
very general.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. Okay.
What about also with that? I mean, because obviously we have actually statewide entities, but there are 10 targeted counties. And I know they've had other social services meetings, interim meetings at some localities that maybe something just to order in terms of maybe a county that's very actively maybe pursuing something, and I'm not sure if you're on that out there.
That's okay, that's good. All super ideas, Mr. Robinson.
I think the advisory committee for the intergenerational poverty is going to release a 5-10-year report sometime during session with policy recommendations. Why don't we push that to a February agenda?
Okay. Yeah, no, I don't see us tackling all of these ideas at once, but I'm liking the brainstorming here because it's helping me think through how we might move along our processes and thinking going into the next year. Super.
Commissioner Bowman.
The recommendations are being reviewed by the advisory committee now, then they'll be voted on by the commission, and hopefully January we'll have finalized recommendations and an updated 5- and 10-year plan. So there's already a 5- and 10-year plan in existence, and just updated based on the most current research. So the most current report is finished. And I'm sure Tracy would be happy to come and update you and then tailor it towards the women. Specifically that are affected by it, and maybe young girls, and what the data shows with regards to education and health issues that these young girls deal with that are affecting their ability to maybe later in life be successful and self-sufficient. So I can set that up. Are you thinking maybe news like that?
In February. Or even April. I don't know, whatever makes sense.
Okay. I'm sure there'll be legislation coming forward that's addressing IGP, and so maybe you guys want to have an opportunity to vet those as well and give your take, especially as it refers to or affects women or children.
That's
not
great. Super. Any other comments? Feedback? I think we've had a great meet today. We've gotten a lot done. We're going to see if we can get one more commissioner appointed. And actually, that might work for this summer. And we're going to move forward with our research project, have some new policies related to making decisions, and in the meantime, we'll connect with the Communications Committee and the Public Policy Committee and have some additional updates for us in December. Yes, yeah, so I think that's it.
just one note for, I think maybe this would fall under the communication subcommittee, is to see where we are in terms of connecting with other groups in the community who are, you know, we created the large list of other organizations and groups who deal with women's issues that we have in our, it's that word, intersectionality. There were so many syllables. I'm so impressed. I want to use that many times today. We have intersections to help you with. And where are we in terms of connecting with them, helping support them? Anyway, I don't know where we are with that issue, but I felt like that was important.
Okay, so we'll connect with Commissioner O'Malley and see where we're at on all of that.
Okay. Well, if there's no other business, to any other business to come before the commission, I'd like to entertain a motion to adjourn.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
Sorry. Is there a participation for that presentation or conversation in terms of sort of moving agendas forward and we only have a few select meetings and I get people miss, but is there sort of a
We've never addressed that, and I don't, it's not in our enabling legislation. And the other thing, we don't really have is a term limit. I don't think we do. Is it time for me to go?
No.
We're like, oh, let's
I was just
confirming
in terms of forward.
I don't think we've ever had a problem with quorum.
Yeah, no, not with quorum so much, but we've had a couple, missed a couple in a row, so,
Yeah,
no, that, yeah, that's to make a decision, yeah.
So this is it, okay. Yeah, so it does say that they'll be removed, a member shall be removed, so not a choice, if they are absent for 3 consecutive meetings.
Okay.
Without being excused.
Without being excused by the chair.
Yeah, they ask for your potty pass. So
they don't take care of them. And I know that she asked me to the previous day, so this is when I, so, okay.
And then I'm going to see if it has a term limit. I don't see a term limit here.
Okay.
And I'm not suggesting necessarily that we do
that. No, I think, I know, but in terms of process,
without that action?
Yes.
Yes, you just want to help people not anymore.
I really don't, because I will be probably
It's a good thing to bring up.
Just in terms of moving things forward on the commission, we only have 6 meetings. And
so I don't think it has stopped, and I mean, I haven't seen anything being stopped. I guess we're still used to legislative meetings, but you don't show up, you moved on.
I think what the concern is that with the website, we've been working on it for about a year, and it's just
You know, we're trying to make it perfect, because I've shrunk the role already.
Yeah.
I mean, I would
leave
it
and that's what
don't put anything that's not real.
No.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, those in terms of the meetings, I think the commission is, I would say, large enough, but where you have this diversity of voices, that I wouldn't ever be concerned. That's not going to move forward. It may not be the way I want it to come here to speak my, you know, my mind or say something, but it seems pretty, I mean, it's growing.
Right.
It's growing in terms of, when you get the results, I think it's also something we need to, you know, it's productive. I mean, this is probably more productive than the other group sites. I serve in committees, not calling out anything, but, you know, and here's all that people like, yep, we are moving forward. These things are coming out of here, but it's just, you know, it's 6 weeks, 6 meetings in a year. I mean, a lot of the work is taking place outside of the meetings.
But we do have that within the statute, so we'll keep an eye on that.
Okay.
That's good.
Shelly will keep track of it.
Oh, yes. Just don't mark it when I'm not.
Yeah.
Well, seeing no other business to come before the commission, again, a productive meeting. Commissioners, I appreciate you all being here, and we'll be meeting on December 6th, and once we find that we just don't have enough people in it for a quorum. So, all right. Thank you, everyone. I move to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, have a good rest of the day.
you can work on this one.
But you said that we're doing something.